We're sitting here visiting with attorney Steve Jackson, grilling him on a number of estate planning issues that can bedevil people. And before the break, we were talking about powers of attorney and the differences and whether they wear out and what they do. There's a special kind of power of attorney that's called a healthcare power of attorney. I think it's also called a healthcare proxy, or is that a term in a different state? What is the difference there?
What we were last talking about was the financial. How do we handle money?
Right.
This is more the issue of what happens. This is really the issue. You're in the hospital. You're unconscious. Who has authority to approve treatment for you? Which is normally what you think of as a healthcare proxy or a healthcare power of attorney.
So because it bears upon health, is that why it has to be in a separate agreement? I mean, why not put it in the general power of attorney or the durable power of attorney? Is it because you might name one agent who is going to be good at handling your checkbook and another one who's going to?
Absolutely. A lot of times you'll think of head people as person handling your finances and maybe a heart person as the person that handles your health care. And also a lot of families will, it's always interesting, they'll often have, if they have someone in the healthcare field in their family, that's who they'll choose because they feel that person can keep calm and, be objective as opposed to their own kids who might panic when they see mom and dad hurt or sick.
So when does a healthcare power of attorney, is that what it's called, healthcare power of attorney?
Yes.
When does it actually become a live document or in effect? Is it when something's proven about?
No, normally it's in effect as soon as a client signs it. And it's a good idea to have your healthcare power of attorney, your living will, and your HIPAA documents. It's a good idea to let your primary physician, your primary doc, they make a copy of that and put that in the file. And then anytime, say, if you go in for mission for surgery, they're going to ask for a copy of that up front also.
So what if you have a healthcare power of attorney that's been drafted in, let's say, Florida? You used Florida before.
Yeah, and we'll see that a lot because you've got a lot of folks moving back and forth between Florida and North Carolina. And the problem, again, is if you have very state-specific documents, they have a lot of state-specific language. They refer to a statute, a Florida statute number such and such, Florida statute number such and such, or Illinois statute, and the doctors are going, this isn't Illinois, this isn't Florida, do we have authority?
So do they reject it in total, or do they say, well, we get the essence of what the wishes are, and we'll try to abide by it?
Or well, you also got to remember the hospital runs on a lot different system than the financial system. The hospital system is to keep, their goal is to keep your heart beating when you come in the door on the gurney. Then they try and figure out later, if you're not conscious, who has authority to say, yes, let's treat them, or no, we're going to go to another hospital.
So if it's a Florida document, do they just disregard the document?
You may have more danger of that. When we do healthcare, we try and do documents that are more national because, you know, everybody travels, and in Western North Carolina, you're within an hour and a half of three other states.
Right.
We're closer to, three other states' capitals than our own.
So an out-of-state document could be okay, but you'd probably...
Yeah, it's safer to just use a national version.
National version.
Yeah.
All right. Give them a call at 252-7300, and Steve will take a look at yours and tell you if it's valid or not. What if somebody has a healthcare power of attorney that was drafted, say, 10 years ago? Is that still groovy, or is that, wrong-o-prong-o, out of date?
It might be effective. One of the things that folks will do is they'll do one set and appoint one person, and then 5 or 10 years later, they're in different relationships. Three things are always changing in your estate plan. The law is always moving. What you own will move, and who you're in relationship with will move. So people will often have a former neighbor, a former friend, or maybe now an estranged relative or a relative who's passed on as their healthcare agent.
Right. How about the living will document, which is, it instructs the physicians to unplug people at various times, right?
Well, in essence, what that is how that works is the doctors keep your heartbeat going. Then if you don't revive or you're on a situation maybe where you're on the ventilator and you're not going to breathe naturally on your own, then the living will comes into play. And the living will was, in essence, the shooting match that they had with Terry Schiavo down in Florida. She did not have one. And it's your consent. It's Glenn's consent to say, if Glenn is terminal and incurable and death is imminent, don't keep me on the ventilator.
If you have a healthcare power of attorney, why can't that person just say, unplug you? Why do you have to have a separate?
The doctor, the medical system is very wary of getting sued. They want your consent, your authority, because you got to remember, if you have two adult children and one of them says, let mom go, she's on a ventilator, she's not going to get any better, and we don't want to warehouse her. And the other one says, no, mom may come back, don't let mom go. What do they do then?
Yeah, right.
So if mom consented and said, hey, if I'm terminal and incurable, don't keep me on the ventilator long term.
Right. So if someone has a document drafted in Tennessee, is that document going to work in North Carolina?
It may not. Because, again, if you have a lot of state-specific language or state-specific statutes. The other thing to remember is this is really take you off of artificial support. This is not we're going to put a pillow over your face.
Right. So that actually leads me to the next question. We've just got a couple of minutes remaining. Anatomical gifts. Can you do that through a driver's license in this state?
Carolina, they have it. And then a lot of people have an anatomical gift documents also.
Okay. So if you actually draft a document and you have something on your driver's license, which prevails?
They're probably going to go with the driver's license because that's what they can come up with the fastest.
Right. Okay. So if they have that, if they pull that out of your wallet and see that you're going to, you know, give your stuff away, does that impact the fact that they're going to try to save you? I mean, have you read any stories about where the physicians try a little less hard?
Well, Coma, which was a movie back in the 70s, was about that. They would kind of let people die to harvest their organs. But so hopefully we're not going to have that happen.
You're not aware of any. I mean, that's the thought that I had. Is like, well, if I do this, I don't want there to be any less effort, you know.
No, I don't think that's a problem. The main one I've normally seen are people taking advantage of power of attorneys, financial power of attorneys. That's where I see the shooting matches and the abuse.
Right, I understand. Okay. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of our time. I appreciate you coming in again on a second week, Steve. And
thank you. I've enjoyed it, Clint.
I know you're a busy guy. If you have any questions for Steve, give him a call once again at 252-7300. He's in the Biltmore building on Pack Square, 252-7300. We'll be here next week. If you have any questions about the show or a desire to look at previous shows, WWNC has podcasts that are available. You can just click on the Listen Now button and drop down to podcast, and you can pretty much listen to anything you'd like to. It's also available on our website. So that's it. We'll see you next week, folks. We're out.